The truth. Truth.
Deanna Spingola. Our guest today is Al Benson. He is the co-author with Walter Kennedy of Red Republicans and Lincoln's Marxist, Marxism in the Civil War, and Lincoln's Marxist. His websites are revisedhistory.wordpress.com and albensonjr.com. We will take calls after the next break at 877-488-5350. And Al, you were talking about the Pledge of Allegiance. You were talking about what that pledge meant to the Southerners, and why 30 years later Edward Bellamy decided to write it, and on what principles he wrote that.
Well, it was here again. Like I say, it was a slap in the face to what the Southerners did by seceding. Everybody nowadays hollers about secession is treason, or it was treason. Well, it wasn't. I mean, there was nothing in the Constitution that forbids secession. The Southern states, when they seceded, used the same procedure that they used to ratify the Constitution. You know, had state conventions, and they went through all the lawful, legitimate process, and you know, this is, they did it lawfully. They didn't just revolt and try to march on Washington or whatever. And so their view of the Constitution was that it was a compact, and that if the states saw something that was a problem to them, then they could leave the compact. Of course, Lincoln didn't view it that way. The whole thing about the nation being indivisible was that, you know, once you get in, you can never get out. You're stuck with whatever they decide to do. People shouldn't view it that way today.
Go ahead.
Please?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You know, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about secession nowadays, you know, which I think is good. I think it's a subject that ought to be revisited. You know, it ought to be in the public forum. People ought to talk about it. You know, agree, disagree, whatever. You know, it ought to be something that people consider. I mean, some of the Southern and Confederate heritage groups do consider it. You know, they talk about it, but it needs to be something that the general public becomes aware of. Because if you only get your news from, you know, the Daily Fish wrapper that comes to your mailbox, you are never going to get, you know, you're never going to get anything. And people need to start doing the homework. And the problem today is that people are not. They sit back and they take whatever is thrown at them. They turn the 6 o'clock news on. They watch Walter Crank Case or whoever it happens to be, whoever the talking head is, and that's all the far they look. And that's, I mean, you'd do better to get on the internet, do some homework, and shut the news on the TV off.
Or read your books.
Well, yeah, I could do that too. You know, that bothers a lot of people. You know, I mean, I've gotten comments back, you know, about Lincoln. You know, I remember years ago talking to a lady here again up in Illinois. Now, this was a Christian lady who homeschooled her kids, so she should have known better. She made the comment to me. She said, I know what you think about Abraham Lincoln, she said, and I'm not going there with you.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I mean, don't bother looking up to see if you're wrong. I mean, I had to change my view of Lincoln.
Sure, we all did.
You know,
every one of us did.
I had to change my view of Eisenhower after I read the book The Politician.
Yeah.
You know,
Al, we do have to go to a quick break. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Today is Al Benson. His websites are revisedhistory.wordpress.com and albensonjr.com. And we will take your calls at 877-488-5350. We do have a couple of email questions or comments. One is from George. He says, your guest said that the federal compensation to slave owners to free the slaves would have cost less than the war. Can he flesh this out with figures? Cost per slave times number of slaves, and state how much the war did cost the federal government. And then he mentions that one of his great-grandfathers was born in New York State in 1839, ran away from home at 17, ended up in Missouri, and fought for the South.
Well, as far as the figures are going, I can't give him figures over, you know, on the air. I'd have to look.
Okay.
As a quote in a book that I read, and I can't remember just which one it was, whether it was one of Dr. DiLorenzo's books or not, I can't remember, but
right.
I know I've seen it, and that's where I took that from. I'd have to see his figures, to see what he, you know, you stop and figure. That, you know, they fought this war for 4 years. How much did that cost for 4 years of fighting?
Right. I'm scrolling, trying to find it in my book. I know I have the figures for the war and how much it cost. And It was an amazing amount of money. And I'm still scrolling. But let me read another question or comment. This is from Joe. He says, the 39th New York Infantry Regiment was known as the Garibaldi Guard. They wore an Italian-style Bersaglieri uniform and were made up of 10 individual companies. There were 3 German companies, 3 Hungarian companies, 1 Italian, 1 Swiss, 1 Spanish, Portuguese, 1 French, and it was what he says a true multicultural outfit. And he said the commanding officer, Colonel D. Utasi, was cashiered for theft of government funds. And they fought in most of the eastern battles with the Army of the Potomac. And he says, to your knowledge, was this part of the 48ers? And I would say yes. But what is your thoughts?
Yeah, probably. You had a lot of what you might call ethnic regiments. In fact, I've heard that there were some regiments in the war that none of the men spoke English except the officers. You know, that when they gave the commands to advance or retreat, they gave it in German. Because
right.
None of the enlisted men spoke English in that particular regiment. So that was a fairly common thing. You had a lot of these German regiments. Probably need to stress one thing. Your average German was not a 48er. I mean, you had a lot of Germans that came over here earlier, 1820s, 30s, and these folks were mostly not radicals. I mean, they came for a better life for their families, you know, so I don't want to paint, you know, every German as a fire-breathing socialist. There were some that weren't, you know, but here again, the vocal minority that were overshadowed the rest.
Right, because the rest were, you know, farming, making a living, taking care of their families.
Yeah, the rest were mostly farmers and people. They went to Missouri and places like that. But, you know, they were influenced by the 48ers in 1860 to vote for Lincoln. In fact, Lincoln even bought a German language newspaper in Illinois so that, you know, he could reach the German-speaking people with something in their own language.
Right. Okay. Now, we often hear about how wonderful, how absolutely wonderful that Lincoln was because he created the greenback. But let me give you some figures on this issue that George asked about. He's on July 1st, 1857, the public debt was $29,060,387 with a cash balance of just nearly $18 million. And let's see. By 1866, because of the war, the public debt of the U.S. was, $4 billion with interest totaling $292 million.
Yeah, that could be. I haven't followed the financial figures, so I'm not much help to you there. Interestingly enough, you know, the Union borrowed money in some cases, and they borrowed it from basically what we call international bankers.
Right.
And which didn't, you know, put the United States in their debt. And same situation you've got today. Smaller scale, but I mean, we're talking billions instead of trillions. But
right, I think the best book on this particular subject is Blood Money: The Civil War and the Federal Reserve by John Remington Graham, and it is published by the Pelican Publishing Company in Gretna, Louisiana, and it came out in 2006.
I read that a few years ago. It was a good book.
Fabulous, yes.
And he went into a lot of things that, here again, you'll never see in the history books.
Right. And the greenback issue basically came with a lot of regulations and a lot of restrictions, where basically it benefited that same group of people, the people up in New York, the bankers in New York. And the court historians have spun it to say, oh, yes, he issued the greenback, and that was such a wonderful thing. No, it was not such a wonderful thing, because, as I said, it was designed to enhance the bankers up north. And that was through a bill that was issued by Congress in 1862, and the congressman who actually represented the bank's interest permitted the issue of greenbacks only if individuals could convert the bills into bonds. And this convertibility feature would allow the bankers and their agents to enact legislation which would authorize the redemption of the bonds into specie. So basically, they're doing what they do now. You're trading your Federal Reserve notes for if you bought gold, for instance. Well, somebody explained earlier on an earlier program that basically this isn't such a great idea, because what you're doing is you're trading in your real assets for nothing.
Yeah.
For paper.
And it's not. Yeah. It was the same deal basically, as you say. And here again, people don't look back far enough to see the Lincoln administration did a lot of the things that they do today.
Right. They imposed a federal income tax.
And succeeding administrations did the same thing. I mean, the Lincoln administration started a pattern. It changed the form of government, basically, from a representative republic to a national democracy. And it went totally in the opposite direction of the founders. And like I say, it was our French Revolution. We never got over it. We haven't today.
Right.
But people don't realize what happened during that war,
right.
Afterwards, because, they look at and they say, well, you had Reconstruction of the South, but that ended in 1877. Well, it ended officially when the Yankee troops went home. Reconstruction has continued. The Pledge of Allegiance is Reconstruction.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
if you look at one nation indivisible, that's Reconstruction. What you have today with this, what we call cultural Marxism, political correctness, this is Reconstruction. Now, Reconstruction never ended. It kind of went underground, took a few different names, but it goes on today, and in this problem is today that it goes on all over the country. You know, the Northerners are getting bitten by it just like we are down here, and they don't realize it.
Right.
You know, cultural Marxism is, and we talked about that yesterday when you mentioned talking, is Reconstruction. They push the multicultural thing, the diversity thing, the ethnicity thing, but you have to look at what they're doing. There's room in this multicultural, diverse thing for everybody except white Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They don't belong. I mean, there's no diversity for them. You know, they're supposed to clear out, forget their heritage, forget their culture, forget their God, there's no place in this for them. I remember years ago talking to a minister up north, and he was watching what they were doing with some of these federal programs I can't remember the name of the program now, to plan, urban planner, I think. And he said, I've looked at some of these things. He said, you've got plans for this, that, and the other thing. He said, but there's no plans for any churches in this.
All righty. We are going to a quick break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including turtle tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot turtle tufts to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your turtle tough shelter and accessories included at turtletoughshelters.com. That's turtle, T-U-F-F, shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at turtletoughshelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer-rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Al Benson, and his websites are revisedhistory.wordpress.com and albensonjr.com. And I have some email questions and comments, and somebody sent a website talking about the cost of the war was basically $2 million a day. Amazing. $2 million a day. Left us with a very, very large debt that the middle class had to assume. All righty. There was something else I wanted to bring up here. People, as far as the Pledge of Allegiance and as far as the vow of allegiance that the Southerners had to swear before they could rejoin the Union, the people do not owe automatic, unthinking allegiance and obedience to the government, so much as the government owes to the people accountability for its actions. The schools and other entities have indoctrinated the populace so that we almost mindlessly parrot the words of the pledge and go through the motions implied by our understanding of it without even thinking about the potential consequences of our unquestioning compliance. They owe us allegiance. We don't owe them allegiance.
Yeah. I agree with his email, what he said.
We've got some callers lining up here. Let's take Jeff in Missouri. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. This morning, I mostly agree, with commentary on the show. The only thing that I might kind of maybe be devil's advocate a little bit is say
Go
that
ahead.
In some sense, I would say, sometimes people reap what they sow. If you go back like 20 years prior to like 1862, some of the main promoters of the Mexican War, which really, there wasn't really any significant provocation in the 1840s with the Mexican War. The Democrats in the South were solidly, behind the war and agitating for a war with Mexico.
That's true.
It was a time where there was a stalemate where the North and the South, there are only so many states, and, as long as the stalemate continued, the South couldn't get any more senators to vote or representatives, and, in Congress, they were in a stalemate.
Okay.
Unless they could add states by adding territory.
Right. So there was provocation, and they provoked the Mexicans to attack, and then they created a war. And certainly that was probably leading up to our acceptance of fighting yet another war with the so-called Civil War. So, yes, that was provocation. But I don't think that it was something that was wholly promoted by the South, but rather the military, which was very, very influenced by West Point and by certain other entities that had kind of infiltrated certain groups. What are your thoughts, Sal?
It's interesting that if you look back to the 20th century, Pancho Villa raided across into Columbus, New Mexico, and Pershing went after him. Pershing never caught him, but it's been claimed that this particular war, or this particular military action, it wasn't really a war, was to kind of get the U.S. troops ready for World War One.
Sure.
They had never, they hadn't fought for quite a while, and this was kind of a prep thing to get them all ready so that they could go to Europe and do whatever it was that the internationalists wanted us to do over there.
Sure. If you're willing to kill people in your own country, you'll kill anybody.
So I look at where we're at now, and suppose we end up with mass demonstrations in this country, depending on what happens before, during, and after the election. Suppose you get people out in the streets, how would I want to say this? Just a scenario that everything looks so bad they postpone the election. You get a lot of people out in the street because, they think that they've been gypped, and they have. They're going to be gypped if they get the election, too, but I mean...
Right.
And they get the National Guard out,
Sure.
Will these National Guardsmen shoot Americans if they have
probably.
To?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. That's my exact answer, probably.
Yep.
People say, they'll never shoot at their own kind. They're training them nowadays to shoot at their own kind.
What is our own kind anyway? I mean, we're such a multi-diverse country.
Your average American.
Knows?
Your average American who gets out in the street with a, because he thinks that he's
the
been
banner.
And,
Al, we do have to cut to a break. Callers, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you concerned about fluoride, chlorine, parasites, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Dalton ceramic water filters have been made continuously since 1827 and are used by disaster relief organizations and in third world countries to supply safe drinking water. Not only do we offer gravity filter systems, but also under the sink and countertop systems. Our replacement filters can be used to upgrade your existing system. And unlike some other filters on the market, Dalton filters do not have to be primed. For more information, call us at 800-696-1435, 800-696-1435, or order online at Dalton.com. That's Dalton.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendovite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendovite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Our guest today is Al Benson. His websites are revisedhistory.wordpress.com and albensonjr.com. And you were talking about militia or the martial law and whether or not the soldiers would kill American citizens. And of course, they would.
Yeah, everybody's so obedient. I have no doubt that they would.
Yep.
I mean, you'd like to think they wouldn't, you know, but. You know, just reality today. I mean, you have to wonder how they train the army and, you know, and the military in general. And, I'm afraid that they would have no hesitation. Well, some would, but probably the majority would not have any hesitation about shooting Americans. They're trained to shoot whoever they're told to shoot.
Sure. All righty. We do have some other callers. Let's take Bob in D.C. Bob, welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon, Deanna and Al Benson. Am I coming through okay?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay, great. Al, I have a few questions for you. Oh, by the way, as far as the Army shooting, they've done that in the past, the mine wars in the 1920s, I believe it was 21 and 22, which old man goes into. He goes by the name of Ruffin, I believe, but that's not his real name.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had over 10,000 rounds shot back and forth between the military and the miners. So, I mean, just we've already got a precedent set. Al, I have a question for you about your book. Deanna quoted from your book. Now, I see there are two authors. Did you both go through the book and read it and edit it and some stuff like that?
No, where is she? I'm having a hard time hearing him.
Oh, Al, can you hear me now?
Yeah, try again.
Okay, yes, let me try again. Sorry, you know, sometimes the feeds are different, so I'm speaking real close to the phone now. In your book, I'm asking if both you and Mr. Kennedy went through it and with a fine-tooth comb, edited it and stuff like that.
Yeah, we edited it. We had.
Okay,
yeah.
Let me ask you then. That was my question, first question. The second question is, there's a quote in there which Deanna used in her first Ruling Elite book, and this is the quote from your book, directly from your book. And it's by Lincoln. It's a quoting Lincoln. It says, "The Union is older than the states and, in fact, created them as states. The Union, and not themselves separately, procured their independence and their liberty. The Union threw off their old dependence for them and made them states, comma, such as they are." That's the quote in your book. Is that correct, or do you recall that?
Let me get the book off the shelf.
Okay. I'm sorry, I don't have a page number for you, and I don't have a page in the Kindle book either.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
that's what I would
they didn't paginate
the page number. Lincoln's view was that the...
Well, that's not my question. Al, that's not my question. I just want to make sure that you understand that quote is in your book, because it's an outright lie. That quote is an outright lie. I went to the source, I went to the congressional record, and I found out what Lincoln actually said. And the way you turned it around, or your friend turned it around, is an outright lie. I think your book is a polemic. It is not historically accurate. Now, let me give you the quote from Lincoln's address to Congress, July 4th, 1861. "The Union, and not themselves separately, procured their independence and their liberty. By conquest or purchase, the Union gave each of them whatever of independence and liberty it has. The Union is older than any of the states, and, in fact, it created them as states. Originally, some dependent colonies made the Union, and in turn, the Union threw off their old dependence for them and made them states, comma, such as they are. You twisted and turned that around for your polemic. Your book cannot be trusted. It is not historically accurate." And that's pretty much all I have to say. Deanna, thank you.
All right. Al, your comment.
Well, Lincoln did make the statement, and I won't try and address everything he said here, that the Union is older than the states. I mean, I've read that several different places. Now, I can't tell you off the top of my head where they all are, but I've read that in several different places, and that was Lincoln's view, that the Union was older than the states, and therefore the Union could basically tell the states what to do.
Okay.
You know,
well,
remember
that
Reagan gave. Remember Reagan gave a speech when he was in office. He said the government didn't create the states. The states created the government.
Right.
Now I don't necessarily agree with everything Reagan said or did, but in that particular case, he was right.
Sure.
The states created the federal government. If the states didn't create the federal government, why did you have to have state ratifications? You know, for the Constitution. Why didn't they just submit it to the people and they vote on it as a,
Right. The government is an artificial entity that the people created.
When they ratified the Constitution, they sent the ratifications back to the states. The states called ratification conventions, and the people in the states voted to ratify it, but it was done through the state. Therefore, the states created the federal government. And it was interesting you notice, I don't know if I did address this in the book or not, but there were three states that put in their ratification language, if this doesn't work out, basically we have the right to get out. It was Virginia, Rhode Island, and New York, I think. And Virginia spelled it out more explicitly, but the other two said basically the same thing, that if this doesn't work out for our state and for the people in our state, you know, we reserve the right to remove ourselves, to secede.
Right. All righty. Let's take Richard in Washington. Richard, welcome to the program.
A takeoff on the last caller. it seemed to me that there's a distinction between the state and the union. Each state in the original Founding Fathers' creation was a nation unto itself. And then what this whole idea got perverted in the Civil War, and it became an issue of the Union versus Jefferson Davis and states' rights. And my question is, how did the people get so motivated to, you know, bear arms to fight this war if it seems like there's very little behind it except for greed of the bankers and the power brokers behind the war? What motivated the people, from Al's perspective, to actually bear arms and take up the fight for these international bankers?
Well, one thing that motivated them, you know, was when Lincoln and basically invaded the South. I mean, up until that point, you only had seven states in the Deep South that, you know, had seceded. And Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Arkansas hadn't seceded. When Lincoln sent federal troops, made the call for federal troops, you know, he asked Virginia for, I don't know how many he asked for, but, you know, he expected Virginia to supply troops for an invasion, and the governor of Virginia said no. He said, we're not going to do that. We're not supplying you troops to invade our country. They would have had to go through Virginia, and so after that, Virginia voted for secession. I think the other states were pretty much on the same idea. You know, once the news got out, you know, they were going to invade. They'd been discontent in the South for a long time. You'd had discontent after John Brown's thing at Harper's Ferry in 1859. You had people in the North, a lot of the abolitionist people, but they were influential, even though they were not great in numbers. And they were calling for the, you know, basically the South to be invaded, you know, slave uprisings, destroy the South. And this kind of thing alarmed the Southern people. They really didn't want to fight, but you know, when you hear this kind of language for years, and you know, the people, it's presented to you in such a way that the people in another part of the country are going to come and destroy your culture, you know, chances are you'll fight.
And of course, I believe personally that the South had been a colony of the North for a long time. They had exploited the South when the farmers, the plantation owners, needed money to plant their crop. They'd go north to the bankers when they wanted to sell their product, to export it. They used the deep harbor at New York, rather than ship their cotton from a southern port. And the ship owners were inevitably the same people who loaned them the money to plant their cotton or their tobacco. Because the North was so industrialized, the people down South, they didn't have much in the way of railroads, they didn't have much in the way of production. So everything that they acquired, everything that they needed, had to come from up North. If any shop that wanted to have stock, they went North on a regular basis to buy stock for their shops. I mean, everything was up North, and the North treated the South like a colony.
Yeah, they would have been better in a lot of instances had they allowed some industry, you know, in their own part of the country, rather than to do everything through the North, or a lot of things they got through, you know, England too. But because when the war started, like you say, they had no industry. They had to start from scratch, you know, ammunition plants and factories to make their cannons and whatever else they did, ships for a navy. You know, the North had all this stuff already, and the South didn't. And so they,
right,
you know, they started at a great disadvantage because they had to come up with all this stuff, because here they are, they've been invaded, you know. Washington's got troops in Virginia already, and the South doesn't have that much to fight with, so they've got to start. I don't think they thought it was going to end up the way it did.
No, and of course it was a provoked war. It was false flag. And Richard, did you have some other comments or questions?
Well, that was my original question, yeah. From what you say, and this, I'm going to make a supposition here, was the original invading army primarily mercenaries? They were paid to invade the South and start the war? Or what was the motivation behind the Union soldiers to make that invasion? What motivated
people? You had a lot of Union soldiers that were in the had been former 48ers. They were in the army. When the war started, the Union only had 15,000 in the army. That was their standing army. Probably 3,000 to 4,000 of those were 48ers. And so they had no problem with having a motivation to start a war because, you know, they looked at the South and they didn't like it. Almost to a man, the 48ers hated the South, just like, the a lot of the Northerners did, the abolitionists. And so they had no problem with starting the war and carrying it out because another chance to take a whack at somebody else's property. There was, a lot of different things, but they were, like I say, the 48ers wanted to do here what they failed to do in Europe, and Lincoln's agenda and the war was a chance for them to help accomplish that.
Right, and then you also had the propaganda apparatus in the form of Uncle Tom's Cabin.
And yeah, you did.
When you look at who funded her and promoted her and encouraged her and eventually published her book, then you can see who was behind it, and it's the very
and
same
you,
group
you did
people.
The same thing when you had John Brown before Harper's Ferry. He traveled all over the North and gave speeches to different groups. And there were people in the news media that followed him around. There were people in the news media that when he was killing people in Kansas, they were there, and they basically mounted a propaganda campaign in favor of John Brown up to Harper's Ferry, and they reached a lot of people in the North with that kind of, just like the news media today.
Well, sure.
The media, I shouldn't call them, keep calling them the news media, they're not. They're the spin media. But it started back in those days. You had some of these people that traveled with Brown, and every time he gave a speech in Massachusetts or New Hampshire or someplace, they'd report it. They didn't get into some of the Boston papers or the Hartford, Connecticut papers or wherever. Brown said such and such, and he did. And of course, they always put that positive spin on it. They didn't really ever tell you that Brown was a terrorist. He was a Nova Mater. He was trying to, free the blacks and all this. And, same thing as today. I mean, all you got to do is move forward 160 years, and it's the same game with different names.
Right. Richard, did you have some other comments or questions?
Well, that's it, and I still didn't really get an answer to my question. I understand the later aspects of the whole thing, but was the initial invading army of the Union, were they just mercenaries? They were kind of like there to start the war, and they were paid to do so? Or was there actually commitment on the part of the people of the North to initiate a war against the South?
It started at Fort Sumter, which was a deliberate provocation. And then
there were a lot of people in the North that weren't in favor of the war in the beginning.
That's my belief, is this whole thing was created.
It wasn't unanimous in the North. Everybody wanted to go do this. I mean, there was a lot of anti-war sentiment in the North. That's why he ended up with the people called the Copperheads, because they were anti-war Northerners who didn't want to go South and fight, and they wanted to settle this whole thing through peaceful means.
Right, and they tried to have a meeting, and Abraham Lincoln refused to attend. And then you also had the socialist element in the churches up north who supported Lincoln. And so it was just very interesting. There were so many variables, so many elements that promoted this. And
even with Fort Sumter, the South didn't want to fight over that. They sent a delegation to Washington to try and come up with a means where they could pay the federal government, for their fort.
And, right, because it was
Lincoln would not talk to them. He, Seward kept them dangling on a string for days and days, wouldn't talk to them, wouldn't interview them, wouldn't do anything with them, because at this point, Lincoln already had reinforcements on the way to Sumter, and he knew what he was going to do, and he didn't want to deal with these people.
Right.
So Lincoln was going to start a war no matter what. And when the South was foolish enough in this instance to fire the first shot, that gave him all the justification he needed.
Right. All righty. We do have to take a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thanks, Richard.
Never thought I would experience what I have by being on the RNA drops. Since I started the drops, I've gotten married, started 3 businesses, and feel limitless. My name is Brandon, and I've always been a skeptic because one of my companies is an investment firm, so we look at the facts. I was presented a bottle of RNA drops without any documentation in 2010 and began taking them due to highly reliable sources and their recommendations, and things quickly progressed. My life seemed brighter. And then one day it happened. I was working in my office on a sunny morning, and my spiritual body did a 360-degree backflip and softly landed back in my chair. And that was the day it began. That was my bread of life. To view this patented product, go to freeRNANow.com. That's freeRNANow.com, and begin your ascension process. God bless.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home. The Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Welcome back. Our guest today has been Al Benson. He is the co-author with Walter Kennedy of Red Republicans and Lincoln's Marxist, Marxism in the Civil War, and Lincoln's Marxist. His websites are revisedhistory.wordpress.com and albensonjr.com. We do have another caller, and we have another email question, but there's a lot of issues with the states and the federal government in their co-ownership and equal partnership of the forts that were located in each of the states, but I don't think we're going to have time to cover that. But let's go ahead and take, who do we have here? David in Lone Wolf Territory. David, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good afternoon, Deanna and Al.
I'm surprised, Al, you haven't even mentioned. It wasn't a war against the North and the South, as you've said. It is a war of aggression, a communist aggression. However, the issue was there were 13 stars on a Confederate flag, but there were only 11 Confederate states. However, what's never talked about is 16 states seceded from the Union, and the first state to secede was Wisconsin. The other point I don't quite know why you didn't mention, Abraham Springsteen, or Lincoln, his father was Jewish, and Khazar, and his mother was the prodigy of a illegitimate child of an African slave. But why don't, you know, let people argue with those facts? Wisconsin was the first to secede. And the governor of Indiana sued Lincoln because Lincoln tried to take his troops, and he would not allow them, and he won in a federal district court, and Lincoln could not take troops from the state of Indiana, and Vermont also refused to participate. So, you know, those are facts that these guys that want to argue that it's something other than what it was, they can't refute those. Where's slavery come in when you deal with Wisconsin being the first state to secede?
Yeah, I didn't have any particular documentation on that, and that's the reason that we didn't deal with it.
Okay.
You know, we try to document everything that we put in there as far as having sources, and I never came across anything about Wisconsin, and I did a lot of digging. So, I mean, if you've got some sources about that, then I'll give you my email address, and you could email them to me, and
okay.
I'll check them out.
Yes, sir.
And also about, we're running out of time very quickly here, about Lincoln's ethnicity. That is from one book, and they claim that it is from land records that are no longer available. And so it might be true. But is it really true? I mean, how do we know if the land records are no longer available?
Yeah, because they wanted to destroy the history of what is there. And actually,
right.
Lincoln was the second African to be president of the United States, but most people are not aware of that. And the present one is actually the fifth president to be of African descent.
Well, email me. I'd be happy to... to carry on this conversation off air. Well, thank you so much, Al. Thank you also for your phone calls. Thanks, David and Richard and everyone. And thank you for being on the program today, Al. This is delightful.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow.